Fellas, you know Degree Cool Rush deodorant, right? Well, last year they changed the formula, and guys were mad about it. One dude even started a petition. So guess what? Degree heard us, admitted they messed up, and brought the original Cool Rush scent back exactly how it was. And it's in Walmart, Target, and other stores now for under $4. So grab some and remember why its cool, crisp, and fresh scent made it the number one men's antiperspirant for the last decade. Degree Cool Rush is back, and it smells like victory for all of us.
This episode is brought to you by Chevy Silverado. When it's time for you to ditch the blacktop and head off-road, do it in a truck that says no to nothing. The Chevy Silverado Trail Boss. Get the rugged capability of its Z71 suspension and 2-inch factory lift. Plus, impressive torque and towing capacity thanks to an available Duramax 3-liter turbo diesel engine. Where other trucks call it quits, you'll just be getting started. Visit Chevy.com to learn more.
This has been a heck of a journey for us.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I've never seen a draft journey than the one of Shador Sam.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Bring on Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated. The number of kids that just got drafted at the quarterback position, they're going to start a game.
Yeah, I mean, it's not impossible to see Shador or Dylan Gabriel start a game.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah. Coming up, Steelers Radio Network host Jerry Dulac, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, and now it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Great chat with Daniel Jeremiah. And hour number one, again, we just heard from DJ saying everyone he's spoken to, 15 to 20 evaluators from scouts to front office folks, coaches, think that the Browns did exactly what they should have done, which is trade out of 2 down to 5, get some picks, and let someone else take Travis Hunter, because nobody believes Travis Hunter will be able to replicate in the pros what he did in Colorado, which is play both sides of the ball with regularity and start both sides and play both sides like you're a starter throughout an entire game. And I'm like, Jacksonville, let's prove everyone wrong. Let's go. Cut the kid loose. Let's go. Let the kid show. Let's go. And what say you? 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Tom Pelissero in hour number three. If we had a drop for this man's segments, because he does kindly come on the show when we ask and frequently has a good time with us, I'd like to say, the drop would be, it's time for Jerry Dulac. If Liam Cohn could only do that. Steelers Radio Network host and the man who knows everything about what's going on in Pittsburgh, Jerry Dulac. How are you, Jerry? Good to see you, man.
Rich, I am fine. And when I look at the caliber and quality of your guest,
yes, sir,
day in and day out, the fact that I can be one of them, I'm honored and tickled too.
You are too kind to say that, and you are absolutely in the mix here as always. And so now that the Steelers draft is done, needed to get your couple of cents here. And the first one is, walk me through the drafting of Derek Harmon. You basically told us, you didn't just drop breadcrumbs, you dropped a loaf of bread about how the Steelers were interested in a defensive lineman at 21 overall, and that's who they took, the kid out of Oregon. I'll give you the floor.
Yeah, Rich, that has been, that is their most glaring weakness, and actually has been for the last couple of years, not to mention the fact that that line was getting older. They really haven't addressed it. Oh, you know, a third-round pick, a fifth-round pick. Okay, I know they got Keanu Benton 2 years ago on the second round, and he's a nice piece, but they needed to find a what they feel is a dominant potential Pro Bowl type of tackle, another Cam Hayward, and they feel they got that in Derek Harmon. Now, I will tell you, they had identified three guys, Walter Nolan, Kenneth Grant, and Derek Harmon, and I would say of the three, Grant and Harmon would be the favorites. Of course, both of those others were off the board, but they knew they were going to take one of those three. And if all three were there, well, like I said, it might have been a coin flip between Harmon and Grant, but they got one of the guys they wanted. They had to get a defensive lineman. They could have any quarterback they want behind center. If they don't fix that defensive line, it's not going to matter. And it's something that they had to do. And if they didn't, it would have been the highest form of negligence. They did do it. And you know what? Shout out to them.
And in terms of Harmon, you know, I saw from your posting about his personal story, Jerry, that his mom, who had been ill for a very long time and had been occupying a lot of his time to be with, not just at the beginning of his college career, but during the draft process, my colleague in Hour 3, Tom Pelissero, reporting that Harmon had to cancel a lot of his visits or meetings because he wanted to be with his mom, that he was able to tell his mom that he got drafted by the Steelers, and then she passed away, which just blew me away. And I'm wondering what other details that you might know about that you're willing to share about that 24-hour period involving Derek Harmon, Jerry.
Well, Rich, I think, first of all, I think everybody was both saddened and touched, and, with what happened. You know, when we talked to him shortly after he was picked, he said, when I hang up with you guys, I'm going straight to the hospital to tell my mom, who was on life support, that I'd just been drafted. And if that doesn't touch at your heartstrings, nothing does. And then to find out, that the next morning that she had passed away shortly after he got to the hospital and was able to tell her that he had been drafted by the Steelers. I mean, that just made it all the more both gut-wrenching and heartfelt. So, typically what the Steelers do, and probably a lot of teams, but the Steelers always do this, they bring their number one draft pick into town the next day. They let them meet with the media, and then they take them over to some Steelers-centric events that they have going on during the draft. He came into town, but he did not take part in those. They just thought the Steelers were going to try and show, obviously, the proper respect and not have him do those things. But, as you can quite imagine by what's gone on, a really nice kid. They were impressed that he even wanted to come to town. And I believe, Rich, I don't know this for a fact, but I'm fairly certain he was going to fly in, but his flight was delayed. And because he was in Michigan, he drove in, and which is like a five. We had somebody driving, which is like a 5-hour drive, because he wanted to come into town. So that at least tells you what type of kid he is. But what also he has been dealing with throughout this whole ordeal.
Unbelievable. And I know, when I had Tomlin on Saturday talking to him, he was talking about how the Steelers are further down the road connecting with a first-round draft choice as a new member of their family because of this with Derek Harmon. And I'm sure they're giving him his space, and at some point we'll give him the usual first-round draft pick welcome into the Pittsburgh Steelers town there. Let's move on back to the draft. The fact that they went Caleb Johnson with the third round pick, another need, right? Was there a choice to maybe grab O'Marrion Hampton 21st overall? Because he went 22. Do you know if that was, or it was just defensive lineman no matter what first?
Well, Rich, I will tell you that was plan B. If none of the three guys that I mentioned were available, they were prepared to go running back. And so, it would have been, obviously they assumed Ashton Gentry would be gone. So then it was going to be O'Marrion Hampton, and or Travion Henderson. Those would have been the options, because beyond those three defensive linemen, and they assumed, of course, Mason Graham would be gone early, which of course he was. So that was kind of plan B. So the fact that they went for running back on the third round without that second round pick, not a surprise at all. I've thought all along that their order of drafting would be defensive line, running back, wide receiver maybe, or edge rusher, which surprised me. But the more I thought about it, I understood why, and why they drafted Jack Sawyer and then quarterback in there as well somewhere. And that's basically the way it unfolded. In fact, it was the way it unfolded. So the way that they attacked it based on what they thought they were going to do was pretty much spot on. And they identified those areas, and they were able to address them, I think, with quality players, including getting Will Howard on the sixth round. The only surprise to me, and it wasn't a surprise when you consider, again, what they need to do with that defensive line, was taking Yahweh Black on the fifth round. I thought maybe that's where we were going to see a quarterback. But again, getting another, a big body guy, another young guy to restock that defensive line, which, as I mentioned earlier, was starting to age.
And not just anybody. I mean, Jack Sawyer, you speak to anybody who's followed the Big Ten and certainly Ohio State. He's a captain. He is a leader. He is a guy who literally has blood, sweat, and tears for the Scarlet and Gray, and was a his comp, Daniel Jeremiah, comp for Jack Sawyer is Mike Vrabel, who, as we know, is a draft choice of the Steelers way back in the day. And that all completely makes sense, but it's also my very long wind-up to the Shedeur Sanders question, Jerry. And to the best of your knowledge, where the Steelers had Shedeur Sanders on their draft board, Jerry?
Let me say this real quickly, Rich, about Jack Sawyer. The Steelers' ability to find quality linebackers in the middle of the draft, Nick Herbig, Peyton Wilson, and now Jack Sawyer, those have been keys to their draft. And so to get a productive player like that, as you mentioned, a team leader and a team captain, to me, that's a big home run for them to get him on the fourth round. As for Shedeur Sanders, I can't tell you where he was in a pecking order, Rich, but I will tell you, despite what all the national people thought, they did not intend to draft him. You know, if he was there on the sixth round, and maybe, but, you know, the people that had him going to the Steelers and had him going at 21, that just wasn't going to happen. No quarterback was going at 21. That includes Jackson Dart, who they did have a first-round grade on. But I don't think he factored in, and you could see how many times they passed on him. If they were going to take him, they would have tried to take him in the fourth round. Well, but it wasn't high on their list.
Well, I mean, they had three shots to draft him. And the second round pick, you know, they essentially drafted DK Metcalf and paid him like a, you know, superstar wide receiver that they hope he will continue to be in Pittsburgh. But why was Shedeur not even a first five round consideration, do you think? If he was available, he wasn't available by the time that they had Y.A. Black out there to select in the fifth round. He was gone by then. But what's your reporting on why the Steelers didn't have Shedeur as high as everybody thought?
Well, you know, Rich, I can't tell you specifically why, but I could just tell you there were other quarterbacks that they had that they were more interested in the middle to late rounds. You know, as I said, they like Jackson Dart, but when he went, now if he was there in the third round, which I didn't expect, I don't think they did either because they had a first round grade on him. But they had other quarterbacks in the middle of the round that they thought that they might be interested in. But, you know, the quarterback was not going to be a priority. And I believe we talked about this last time. They are all in 2026 on moving up and trying to get what they believe to be their next franchise quarterback, or certainly their starter for a number of years. And so I think their plan all along has been geared that way. And I can't speak. I know, obviously, the Steelers thought, he had a nice skill set and everything, but I never got the impression that he was high on their list to draft, Rich.
So at any point in the draft, you're saying that Shedeur Sanders was not going to be a Steeler, best to your knowledge.
Best to my knowledge, that is correct.
So the quarterback plan for the Steelers is hoping Aaron Rodgers works through whatever he needs to work through in time for him to join the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's the plan right now?
Rich, I hate to keep backtracking. Let me say one more thing about Shedeur Sanders.
Okay.
When Mike Tomlin at the pre-draft press conference 2 days before the start of the draft talked about Shedeur Sanders, that was the key right there. That should have told everybody they are not going to pick him because he never, ever, ever, it's not the Steelers' policy to ever talk about a draft prospect. And the minute he did, that told me that he's not going to take him, because if he was interested in Shedeur Sanders, he would have never said a word about him. And he freely admits he likes to create smoke screens and steer people in the wrong directions, whether it's the media, whether it's the draft experts, whether it's other teams. So when he did that, that told me right then they weren't going to take Shedeur Sanders. And as for Aaron Rodgers, Rich, they fully expect him to be their starting quarterback. They firmly believe he will, when the season opens. they firmly believe that he will sign with them. You know, they're not stupid. That's what they believe. Now, we know what he said about a week or so ago, and he's talking about some personal issues, or at least family issues with friends. But their plan is, or their thought process is, he will be with them at some point. That's why they're willing to wait, and they believe he'll be their starting quarterback in September.
Huh. When? Give me an idea. What do you think?
When he'll come?
Yeah.
Every time I ask the people who know that question, Rich, they don't seem to give me a specific answer, which, knowing Aaron Rodgers, that's not surprising. But what they have told me, and has been the case all along, he told them he's going to take his time with his decision. And he was certainly prophetic with that, because he has taken about 5 weeks now. So, but every time I check, you know, what's new, anything new in terms of when he might agree, they don't seem to say. So they're willing to wait. They're past the draft. I don't think they're worried about OTAs or anything like that.
Right.
But at some point in time, I think Aaron Rodgers needs to come and get indoctrinated to the locker room and his teammates, if nothing else.
Well, if that's not, you know, it wouldn't be a concern for me either. But the concern for me would be if he does not come, right? That there is not, it's not 100% locked until there's a name on a piece of paper, right? And even then, who the heck knows? But you need him. It's that simple, because Mason Rudolph, we've been there, we've seen that movie. And then Will Howard, with all due respect to how great he played in those, in that 1 year for Ohio State, and obviously the most important games, he was terrific. I mean, unless they want to, their plan to get their next quarterback, their franchise quarterback in 2026, is to ensure themselves of having a top 10 pick, which I don't think is their plan. They need Aaron Rodgers, and they need him to show up. And if not, they need to get on Kirk Cousins or check on Derek Carr's shoulder or that sort of thing, right? Because the last thing they're going to do is hop on whoever doesn't make it out of Cleveland's four quarterback room, certainly if one of them is a former hostage, right, Jerry?
Well, they're not going to hop on that former hostage, I will tell you that. But they did not draft Will Howard to be their number two quarterback. And yes, Rich, if Aaron Rodgers does not decide to come, then they're going to go with Mason Rudolph, but they're still will sign a veteran quarterback, because they believe in having two quarterbacks with starting NFL experience. And now, who that is, what those options are, well, the options are limited, and that's one of the problems here, Rich, with waiting for Aaron Rodgers, is other potential backups, veteran backups, have signed with other teams, including the guy in Cleveland, Joe Flacco. So that was the one drawback to this whole process of waiting for Aaron Rodgers, is you missed out on getting some other potential backups that aren't going to cost you a whole lot. Not that they're going to go out and pay a lot of money for Kirk Cousins, because they're just not. But that certainly is a possibility. And but they continue to say that they are comfortable with Mason Rudolph as their starting quarterback. But then we've heard we've heard that song before about how comfortable they are with Mason Rudolph, and they do like him. He's a terrific backup, but I don't know that they want to begin a season with Mason Rudolph as their starter figure, and they're going to go 17 games and maybe longer with Mason Rudolph.
Two quick hitters for you before I let you go, Jerry Dulac. What's next? TJ Watt signing? Is that next on the radar screen?
Yeah, if there's any extension, it will be with TJ Watt, and it would be sometime in the summer. Certainly, that is their preference. That is their priority. I can't imagine, despite all this conjecture about a tweet that they saw with TJ Watt, that he wants to leave. I've never gotten that impression. You know, will it come down to money? Sometimes it always comes down to money, Rich. But in terms of wanting to leave to go somewhere where he feels he can win a playoff game and maybe a Super Bowl, never got that sense from him. He is content to do that here because he knows they're close. They have been to the playoffs, Rich, for the last 5 years. It's just a matter of taking that next step.
And the fact that George Pickens didn't get traded, despite rumors there, does that mean we're going to see him on the field? It's going to be him and DK and whoever throws the ball? for Pittsburgh?
Yeah, very presumptive rumors, Rich. I never expected that to happen. It was never indicated to me that that was going to happen. Now, that being said, I do not expect him to be here beyond this year. They will not give him a second contract. They have until November if they want to trade him and pick up. Look, they got a number two for Chase Claypool. Maybe they can snooker another NFL team and get a number two for George Pickens. And then what you do, Rich, is maybe I've outlined this to you in the past, pick up another two. They get a bunch of comp picks, three and four next year, three and third and fourth round, package a bunch of those together, move up in the first round, and go get the quarterback you want.
Well, I mean, they might have a lot of competition in that regard, Jerry, certainly within a division. You know, Cleveland got a first of Jacksonville's right off the bat to start the draft, passed up drafting Travis Hunter for that, and that despite how crowded their quarterback room might be right now, the sense is that Cleveland's going to be in on that game and a ton of other franchises going to be in on that game. Jerry?
Well, here's a shocker, Rich. If that's the case, that just means Cleveland wasted two draft picks, which, of course, has been their history. And, what surprises me about that move is I believe the Shedeur Sanders move came from Jimmy Haslam. And what surprises me about that is he was a Steeler investor for years. And being an investor and being around the Steelers, he learned nothing about running a franchise. That's my two cents, Rich.
Show me the back of your hand, Jerry. Can I see it? Show me the back of your hand. Let me
see. Sure. Which one do you want?
Well, Rich? Which one did you just throw at Cleveland? I just want to know.
I do that for my friend Tony Grossi.
Take care of yourself, Jerry. You're the best.
All right, Rich. Always good being with you.
Right back at you. That's Jerry Dulac, always giving us the 401, the real poop on the Pittsburgh Steelers.
The 412 right is what Jerry gives us.
Oh, sorry. The 412. Likes, right. There you go. Out the door. Here it is, Cleveland. There it is. That's what you normally do. You blow your draft choices.
Dismissed.
Yeah, that's Jerry Dulac's back of his hand. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. Tom Pelissero, Hour 3. In the NFL, there is no margin for error. As you know, one mistake can change the outcome of an entire game. That's the same thing about your life and making sure you get the proper sleep so you get done in your day exactly what you want because you're focused and you have everything in order. And the people who can help you do that are our friends at Sleep Number. Their mission is to provide the players of the NFL and you with data and insights to optimize your sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. Don't just take my word for it. How about 95% of the Los Angeles Rams? They've got a Sleep Number bed. 80% of the Kansas City Chiefs, they have a Sleep Number bed. 90% of the Vikings have a Sleep Number bed. You should have a Sleep Number bed. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70, just 10 numbers apart, but it means the world of difference because we can adjust our side of the bed to the exact firmness that we want and allows for working out or recovery. It's game-changing. So if you're in the market for a new bed, you should stop at a Sleep Number store right now. See your store or sleepnumber.com for details. It's NBA playoff time, people. Trust me, if you've never been, you gotta go. The minute you walk into the arena, you can cut the tension with a knife. The fans are hyped. The rivalries are intense. You're part of history when you go to one of these games. Let Game Time get you to an NBA playoff game right here and right now. The Game Time app. It's awesome. It makes saving so much easier. You can save up to 60% when you buy last minute for an NBA playoff game because maybe you want to go at the last second. And you could do the same thing by saving at last minute prices with concerts, comedy, theater. You can also get a panoramic view from your seat in the app before you buy. And before you buy, the all-in pricing feature shows you your entire total up front so there's not a single surprise for you with a fee at checkout. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets right now with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN. You get $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Nordstrom brings you the season's most wanted brands. Skims, Mango, Free People, and Princess Polly. All under $100. From trending sneakers to beauty must-haves, we've curated the styles you'll wear on repeat this spring.
Free shipping, free returns, and in-store pickup make it easier than ever. Shop now in stores and at Nordstrom.com.
What is it like when you're back there? You know you're going to get it.
Yeah.
The 8 in the box or 9 in the box that you see knows you're going to get it.
Yeah.
And you know you're going to give it to them.
Yeah.
And they know you're going to give it to them. What is that like for you?
I just love the game. I love having the ball in my hands, and I love making plays. And I don't know, it's just the game, man. Like, that feeling when everybody knows and they can't stop it, it's an indescribable feeling, man. And that's just speaking for, like, us as a team. And, you know, I just love the game.
Yeah, I know you're smiling. You're just smiling as you're saying this. It is just, it must be an amazing feeling.
It's a lot of fun.
To have that ability. Derrick Henry here on the Rich Eisen Show. Did you hear what Earl Thomas said before the divisional playoff game in Baltimore, saying that the Patriots didn't want to tackle you, but they were going to have a different
approach? Oh, yeah, I seen it everywhere. Everybody was sending it to me. Everybody was showing it to me. Yeah, I seen it everywhere.
Okay, so now later on, you're in Baltimore. You get the ball. You're on the edge. Did you know that was Earl Thomas that was coming for you?
Definitely knew that was Earl Thomas.
Did you give him a second shove because it was Earl Thomas?
Yes.
I was wondering. Because you gave him one in the front, and you gave him one slightly unnecessary one in the back.
But what's so funny about that is I was so focused on giving him another shove that I ran myself out of bounds. So I just remember the first time he kind of turned around, and I could have turned up Phil, but I was so focused on this, like, giving him a show that I ran myself out of bounds. But I definitely did that because of that.
So then the last question is, was it worth it to run yourself out of bounds?
I think it was, yeah.
Man, I love Derrick Henry, and he's been on the show multiple times. And check him all out on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. 10 plus years of good stuff. Check it out right there. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Terzo in Iowa. All rise. He's back on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Terzo? How you doing?
Doing well, Rich. What's up, Brock?
Mitch,
DJ, Delph Tufo.
What up, Jake?
What up, man?
It's cracking.
Hey, I got a couple things for you, Rich. First, with the Shadur thing, you know, I've heard reports that, you know, he came off entitled to a lot of these interviewers. And the one thought that I kind of had, especially with, you know, billionaire owners, do their kids not come off entitled, or they don't themselves come off entitled? I think it's kind of a little hypocritical to use that analogy for him. It's whether or not you can play football, and I think he's shown that he has the toughness and the ability to do so. So seeing him fall like that, I just thought that was heartbreaking for him.
Well, Terzo, I appreciate your 2 cents. Congratulations on Kittle getting signed. I hope that means, you know, Purdy's next, and we can put this all to bed and get things a little bit more settled this time around than last summer. That's for sure.
Well, and I agree, because I was going to come on today if without having the news that Kittle signed, just make a plea for him to stay with the 49ers, because I want to see him finish his career with us. He's been a mainstay, and I don't want to lose that Iowa connection between him and Purdy. I think it just makes that team more relevant having him on it.
Appreciate the call. A couple things that Terzo brings up. Let's hit it. Starting with George Kittle. George giving the scoop to his to the boys. Bussin broke the fact that Kittle signed an extension with the Niners. And 4 years, 36, 76 and change. And $35 million at signing, $5 million in 27. So there you go. He told Taylor Lewan and Compton, this is what's up. And they went out and broke the news. So, hey, whatever comes Bussin's way, hopefully they can parlay that into a motor, which they still don't have in their bus. Weird. It's just weird. Now it's just weird.
Wow. But you've been on it. So
I have.
You know.
Now we're through it.
It's all good.
We're through it.
We made it.
I understand.
Yeah.
There you go.
Did it make more sense once you actually sat in it and were there?
No.
But you move.
Right?
Yeah,
it's a bus.
I agree.
That's my take on their breaking the news about Kittle.
It's a bus. But I'm crediting them, which is what they wanted.
Yeah, the wheels on the bus don't go
And listen, around. Hopefully, again, if you remember, last year it was like, is IU coming? Is he not? Is he getting traded? Is he not? And it's just like, well, now they got to get it done with their, you know, all-world future first-ball Hall of Fame offensive lineman. Is Trent Williams going to get it done? Is it not? What's going on? Let's just get this done. Get Purdy done. Purdy. Get it in and get this thing finished. Give Purdy that thing with a five in front of it, and let's go, because that's what it's going to be, and that's what he deserves. I knew I'd get your attention on that one.
It's not what he deserves, but it's fine. It's just, you know.
It's what he deserves.
It's, well.
It's what he deserves.
I don't agree with that.
A guy with his accomplishments. MVP finalist 1 year, Super Bowl quarterback.
Ain't that the point? Get to the big game.
He's proven himself. He was given zero opportunities, had it finally dropped in his lap and saved the bacon of the franchise that traded all that stuff for Trey Lance, who's now a backup across the street. His third team being a backup now.
Yeah.
We're not talking about that and all the stuff that they gave up for him.
I think more importantly,
he saved a lot of people's, you know, bacon up there.
Looking at this Kittle contract, it's just a 1 year deal. $35 million up front and only $5 million next year. So
$5 million in 27.
Yes. So he's
27. So I mean
31 years old.
I think the intention is let's give him a ton up front. If he can earn the rest, great. And he is one of the all time greats. I'll say this. You know, in our future series, once we're through all of the draft aftermath and we're now just focused on playoffs and the NBA and the NHL and baseball season, while we're waiting for football to kind of ramp back up again, we're gonna do, is this player, you know, a Hall of Famer yet or not? George Kittle's a Hall of Famer. I would say he is getting up there. If he didn't play another down, George Kittle would be a consideration for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Not a first ballot guy.
Okay.
No. I mean, if Antonio Gates wasn't first ballot.
Yeah, he's going
to be like. But he's up there. And George is one of the all-time great 49er pass catchers. How does that sound? And I know who I'm talking about here. So them getting this done and continuing on what he does for them and what he represents for them. Smart move, smart business. Let's go. Sign Brock Purdy and get through it. My two cents, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. I like caping for my friends. And speaking of which, I know I have been accused of caping for Dion when it comes to Shador. I am biased. I met the kid when he was he was a child.
Yes.
Okay? So I understand that. But now comes the time to back the play of people who have said he was poorly drafted, poorly evaluated. Now comes the time where he's got to show up in Cleveland, which I believe he is today, and show that, yes, he has the flash, that he does have the Sanders side of things of saying, I'm building a brand while you're building a football team and the two can meet in the win column. I am building a persona while you are building a dynasty and the two can meet in the locker room and in the win column and eventually on the dotted line for both of us in a contract that makes both of us very happy because I am winning games. And let everybody focus on what they think I'm focused on, flash and brand building and this commercial and that opportunity and making that song, playing that sport. I don't think Shador's grabbing a bat. But hopefully he's got that Sanders in him because he has earned a reputation now of having your mind on something other than football. And that, without a doubt, cost him in this year's draft with a certain amount of teams. And maybe his way of going about his business in the draft evaluation season lent it credence. But now he's been given an opportunity, and he's got to take it. And he's got to show up, and he's got to get in that playbook, and he's got to earn it. Because Dillon Gabriel's not going to hand it to him, and Kenny Pickett's not going to hand it to him,
and Andrew Berry's not going to hand it to him, and the coach isn't going to hand it to him. He's got to earn it, and if he doesn't, he will be cut and looking for a new team at the end of training camp, which is the last thing you want to be in the NFL when you're drafted in the fifth round and teams already have tons of questions on you. And the homework that they did was, for some, unflattering. So that's the real for Shedeur Sanders right now. Let's go back to the phone lines, then we'll take a break, and then we'll do Overreaction Monday so we can explore the studio space on it. Derek in Missouri, another frequenter of this program with regularity. What's up, Derek? How are you?
I'm doing good, Rich. Two quick things. First of all, I'm looking forward to seeing Seth Rollins guest host for your show in July. Looking forward to those dates.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that.
And second of all, I want to say this. If the Miz is guaranteed three things in life, is death, taxes, and his football, favorite football team showing to disappoint him after what the Browns did to him, training to pick to Jacksonville for Travis Hunter was just pure gold, that picture, Rich. That was just priceless.
Poor Miz.
I mean, he has since texted me since that exchange.
Oh, no.
Yes.
And?
I'll be fair and balanced here.
Okay.
He texted me. When did he text me? It was Saturday. During the third day. During round, I would say, looking at the time, round six.
Okay.
Shedeur in the first, and we got him in the fifth. This draft is a win. I then pointed out, except if that's the case, then you wasted a third on Gabriel and passed on a guy who would have turned this frown upside down, and then I texted him this photograph.
Oh, you sent it back to him.
And then he wrote, this is an initial reaction after seeing what we did. That frown turned upside down. And to that point, thanks for the call, Derek. Again, if you told The Miz, if The Miz somehow, some way went on a darkness retreat, right? Let's say the WWE held a darkness retreat.
Okay, that, and invited that could
all, be fun. Well, invited all their top-notch talent, okay? Then we wouldn't have gotten Seth Rollins introducing a pick. But you understand what I'm saying.
I do.
And removed all of the draft information, round number overall selected, just included the names and presented it to a Cleveland Brown fan without the, you traded down for this, you traded out for that, you traded back up for Shedeur after passing on him six times, and you also don't see two guys who looked like they were forced to draft the person they were tepidly clapping for after drafting Shedeur Sanders. You removed all of it. And you also got a one next year. That's not bad. That's more than not bad. That's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't Daniel Jeremiah said that's four starters with their first four picks.
Right.
And then you're taking a flyer on two guys at the quarterback spot. One who is a Heisman Trophy winner. One who threw to a Heisman Trophy winner.
Finalist.
Heisman Trophy finalist, pardon me.
Yep.
And one who threw to a Heisman Trophy winner. Mm-hmm. So I was right on that front. Okay. And the offensive player of the year in the SEC, which is the conference that everybody says is closest to the National Football League, but I'm a Big Ten guy. I'll push back a little bit on that. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, good draft.
I understand why the Miz's frown is turned upside down. I thought Derek wanted to talk about his Broncos.
I think he did, and you...
Oh, did I?
Then you
Well, let me do that solid then.
Derek calls back.
Do we have the Broncos draft? If you want to do that, pop it up. There it is. Thank you. I mean, Jahdae Barron instead of Omarion Hampton was the choice, right? Right there?
That was the kind of like, oh, okay.
And we'll see. Does Jahdae Barron pick off some Justin Herbert passes and get Omarion Hampton off the field? Because they're going to see him twice a year. And Jahdae Barron will be seen twice a year by the rest of the AFC West. And you have now created some serious lockdown corner ability if this kid is
factual,
as advertised, okay? Because the reigning defensive player of the year has already cut in half the field off.
And then, you know, they get the running back RJ Harvey from Central Florida. Is he going to be that guy? My God, this offense, if they get a difference-making running back, that's what we're talking about. The Joker position. That's all you hear that Sean Payton wants, which is a matchup problem to the tune of Alvin Kamara. That's the guy, right?
Everybody would love one of an Alvin Kamara.
Pat Bryant out of Illinois. Add him to the mix. And you could say they know how to draft receivers. Because the kids that they draft have turned into, you know, your waiver wire darlings. Nobody drafts these guys. Maybe that'll be different. Savion Jones out of LSU. Add him along with Q Robinson from Alabama. Add him to edge rushers. And yeah, they got a punter.
Just the people that I follow, like fantasy guys, couldn't be higher on RJ Harvey. Just like comparing like Sean Payton, some of the running backs he's taken, Reggie Bush, Mark Ingram, Alvin Kamara, how'd those guys work out in his systems? Awesome. And this guy's thick, fast, athletic, you know, kind of like a sleeper for next year. So
put a pin in that.
Yeah.
But the one thing you have to point out when you're talking about the Denver Broncos, snap cut to this point last year. This point last year, it's coming off of cutting Russell Wilson and taking the worst cap hit in the history of worst cap hits and turning him to the largest dead cap and saying over the next 2 years, we are going to pay it off, but we're going to draft a rookie quarterback that few people thought was worthy of being drafted 12th overall. Some people didn't have a first round grade on him. Where have we heard that story before? And good luck building a winner while you're not even able to take advantage of the rookie quarterback salary. Normally, you're able to spend it everywhere because you're not spending it on the kid. And the first 2 years, you're not spending it on the kid and Knicks, but you are spending it into the dead cap waste bin. And the worst part of it was last year. So they had more cap relief this year because they spent most of it last year. They were able to take some pretty big names off the 49er defense, if healthy, and add it to a defense that balled out last year. We want to talk about fantasy. How many people grab the Denver defense probably around week three, week four, and say there's something going on there?
Yep.
And there is something going on there. The defensive player of the year resides in there. And they had some other candidates, right? That Nick Benito is no joke,
yeah,
man.
I think he was a finalist,
right?
Too. Yeah.
They've got their own Allen there, too. They're cooking up something. They made the playoffs. They got a little bit of experience. Sean Payton is feeling it. Now they're in the position of just adding to a young, talented roster that's physical and tough to beat. Kind of dig it, right? What's going on in Denver?
Mm-hmm.
Just get that running game going.
I think they might win the division.
Oh, gosh. Now, that's a tall order, Nordberg.
Hey, I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
Okay, just clip this off.
Everybody's sleeping on the Chiefs.
I am a Bo Nix believer, though, straight up.
You went from Chiefs fatigue to Chiefs nap. You're taking a nap on him now.
Don't sleep.
The run ends at some point.
Okay. Or not. Your run lasted 20 years, pal. Your run lasted 20 years.
With 10 in between, though.
No. That was they were still.
They were still good.
Come on, man.
They were still good.
Don't forget. I mean, Matt Cassel should have had him in the playoffs if it wasn't for Chad Pennington's greatest year ever.
That was Brett Favre's fault. Couldn't beat the Dolphins, but
okay.
You know, it's fine.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday coming up right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Chefs, 24 culinary showdowns for 24 hours straight. Which chef will outcook, outpace, outlast the competition?
No chef
escapes the clock. All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing, Sunday night at 8. See it first on Food Network. Stream next day on Max.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
How are you, George?
I'm great.
What do you have there?
I was sitting in your green room, and I was back to for like longer than 5 minutes, and so I started exploring, and I found a closet, and I found a pillow with your face on it. I'm going to probably take this home with me, yes. So you know that.
Please do. Get it out of here.
This is going to be...
Now, how do you explain that to your wife?
Oh, what do you mean? She's going to say it looks beautiful. It's going to be right on my couch.
Which couch?
Hey, sweetie, will you please put Rich away? And I will say no. No, he's here with me tonight while we watch a movie.
Did Brock Purdy get jacked up?
Brock?
Yeah.
Dude, he's always jacked up. He didn't look it. You didn't see it because you're like, oh, look at this young, nice guy.
His backpack, like he's going to home ec.
Yeah, that's right. What you see. But then, like, now that he's into year three now. Yeah. You know, he's played a lot of big football games, played at a really high level, runner up to MVP. See, now you're noticing like the physical attributes.
There it is. There it is.
Look at those quads.
Ooh. Damn.
Yeah, I know. Thank you. He's a monster.
Give me a good story about him that where maybe the first time you're like, all right, I see this. I got it. I understand it.
Brock's first day, I hung an Iowa football shirt in his locker, which was phenomenal. And he instantly takes it out because he's like two lockers down from me. He goes, you put this in here? Just get this out of my locker. And I'm just like, nah, I'm going to like you. I absolutely know that already. Just like tosses it on the ground. I was like, respect. I love that.
That's what he said to you?
All right, get this out of my locker. I was like, phenomenal. Absolutely love it.
That was the first George Kittle.
I was like, hey, Brock, welcome to the Niners. Right. And he gets to his locker, and I was like, you put this in there, get the shit out of my locker. And
what,
I was like,
what exactly did you put in there?
An Iowa Hawkeye football shirt, because he went to Iowa State. Yeah. It's phenomenal. That was when I first was like, all right, Brock's going to be a solid dude. Like, I'm really excited for that. Then you go from the Mexico City game, where we played in, it was at 2022, and he had like three snaps, and the first snap, he turned the wrong way on a handoff. Which was phenomenal. And I was like, oh, that's kind of funny. That happens to guys sometimes. Mm-hmm. And then 2 weeks later, he's coming in against the Miami Dolphins after our second quarterback went down and delivering third down and longs to me, Juice, Ayuk, Debo, and just stepping up in the huddle, stepping up in the pocket, getting hit and cover zero looks and just delivering the football. And you're just kind of like, oh, wow, like this, he can play. Like, you're not just going to step into a football game and just deliver like that. And then it's like, okay, well, is he going to do it again? And then his first start of his career, I'm pretty sure, was against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady.
In San Francisco.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. And you're like, hey, what a storyline. No, Brady's coming back to the Bay. I'm pretty sure the last time that he was in the Bay, they beat the Niners like 30-something to nothing. Something like that. So it's like, oh, this is going to be a big game. And Brock comes out there and just plays lights out. And then, like, it just kept going, kept stacking, and then we didn't lose a game. And it's just like, all right, until, like, the NFC Championship game, he gets hurt. We're like, wow. Okay. Well, then the next question is, hey, what's going to happen to Brock? You know, he's recovering from a UCL injury. Like, how's he going to respond to that? Doesn't throw hardly, throws a little bit, you know, throughout the summer and stuff like that. He has a limit during training camp. And he comes out first game of the season against the Pittsburgh Steelers and throws a couple of touchdowns, throws for a bunch of yards, and you're like, nah, he's going to be just fine. And really, like, you just notice it every single day. Like, he's a consistent kid. He's not really a kid. He's consistent at his job. Every single day he shows up. He just has, like, this intensity to him that, like, I don't think people see very often unless you're in the building with him. Like, he just wants to be really good.
That's the new $40 million guaranteed man of San Francisco when he appeared here last time on the Rich Eisen Show. Your sister regifted your mom a blender for Mother's Day last year. Your brother sent her massive, air quotes here, fresh cut roses that looked not so fresh. Your bid for best gift ever and favorite kid is in the bag this year, and all you got to do is give mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos, and you can load or change the photos right from your phone. The tech is so awesome, guys. It's so easy to use.
And everyone is thrilled opening it as the biggest gift ever. There's unlimited storage. You can add as many photos, videos, and funny memes as you can. And it's so simple to set up. Just plug it in, share away. Aura's got a great deal just in time for Mother's Day. For a limited time, everybody can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com. They get $35 off plus free shipping on their best-selling Carver mat frame. That's A-U-R-A Frames.com. Promo code at Rich and support the station by mentioning us at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. Hey, listen, if the Heat general manager was named Nico Harrison, he would be getting lit up like the proverbial can of gas right now as the Heat get swept out of the playoffs, don't get the 11th overall selection in the draft because they made the playoffs, and they got fully embarrassed in the final game of the series with the Heat last night, getting blown out by 40-something points. I put up what you cut it up for us, Hoskins, from the Miami Heat social media account. This is basically it. Just roll it. During the game last night, let's go get it. We're down 43-17. Quarter two up next. Then keep going. Halftime. Oh, first half has ended. 72-33.
Yikes.
Oof. What else did they say? Oh, here we go. Start of the fourth, 12 minutes remain. 111-63. Like, put us out of our misery. Should have been the final tweet. That's a wrap on the season.
That was by 55.
Dude. Meanwhile, Jimmy Butler, who you wouldn't pay and you basically excommunicated, reinvigorates the Golden State Warriors. He scores 14 in the fourth quarter last night. Yeah. The Rockets were just all over Steph Curry. He couldn't get off a shot. He couldn't get off. He had no get off. And Draymond, when he wasn't basically causing a wrestling match to break out, he picked up five fouls. This guy, man. We all know he's going to Hall of Fame, but he's in the Hall of Fame of a-holes, period. There's no other way to put it. He's already there.
He's already inducted.
He's already there. They just said, we're going to blow off the waiting period.
Yeah, first ballot, statue,
and Dylan
plaque.
Brooks is there, too. So, and you could see, you know, Udoka, I don't know. I mean, you could see he's got a little bit of that in him, too.
He is, yeah.
Okay? I mean, seriously.
Oh, yeah.
There are so many orifices in this series. Whether they're yapping or they're figuratively one of those, but they're your a-hole, not and you hate the other ones, but they are your a-hole, man.
Right,
that's
right,
it.
Right.
That's so good.
And so Draymond can't control his legs when he's on the floor, just can't seem to control it. But when it comes down to shutting down Şengün with the game on the line, brilliant. Defensive player of the year. I mean, Hall of Famer. Unbelievable.
Yeah. And like Reggie Miller, like spare me. Oh, his momentum of his body and the legs, he can't help himself. Shut up. You know what he's doing.
Everyone knows what he's doing.
It's so obvious.
And so basically, you know, Barkley said it at halftime. Cut out this nonsense. You got to play basketball because if you don't, you're going to lose. They played basketball and they overcame the Donnybrook and they're about to eliminate the Houston Rockets.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Butler is a major reason why. And again, you know, Riley is just the king. He's the king. There's no other way to put it. But this wasn't a great choice. Mm-mm. And Butler is just speaking it. He's walking the walk. You saw how he looks comfortable. He looks happy. He's paid. He's being playoff Jimmy Butler.
Also playing hurt.
Amazing. And then afterwards, you know, because we saw him when all this stuff was going down in the second quarter, right?
Yeah, him and Brooks on the free throw line.
Right, and Brooks is laughing it up. Ha, ha, ha. Well, Jimmy wanted everyone to know, if you're sitting there thinking that just, you know, it's all an act and they're just buds and they're laughing it up and yucking it up, that ain't happening.
Jimmy, you and Dylan got into it. It looked like you guys were having fun. Like, took it back to the playground almost, it looked like. What was it like out there? And it looked like you guys were, like, going back and forth. Did you enjoy that element of the game?
No, we're not having fun. Get me on record for this. I don't like Dylan Brooks, so we're never having fun. I'm a fierce competitor. He's a fierce competitor. But there ain't nothing fun about that.
Yeah, he called him a B-word. If you just got to lip read and you could lip read. Yeah, you don't need John Boyd to read those lips.
A B and a bum.
Yep.
I think he's called both of those.
Right.
Yeah,
and so, you know, it works against you when you talking it. To somebody like Jimmy Butler, you are just like, that's a tinderbox. You're just throwing a match in it.
I guess they'll learn. Fred VanVleet can shoot. He was unreal. Sengun was terrific. They've got a great young team, man. And if they keep adding to it, look out. But right now, they're running into some all-time greats who got an all-time great at the trade deadline because the Heat just wouldn't pay him. And he got his way out. And you could sit here and talk about the NBA rewards people who keep on blowing up their situations. The Warriors certainly don't mind. They are moving on. Right now.
Jalen Green, no show. He's been tough this series.
Well, he was on the bench quite a bit, too.
Yeah.
So it's dire straits time there. And the Heat just got absolutely smoked. So right now, their mantra is make the play-in game, win the play-in tournament, and show up as a fly in the ointment. Well, they drowned in the ointment this time.
Yeah, like you said, they would have been better off not even making it.
And if the Lakers lose tonight, Nico Harrison should have another press conference. He should have waited.
With cameras this time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you work in quality control at a candy factory, you know strict safety regulations come with the job. It's why you partner with Grainger. Grainger helps you find the high-quality and compliant products your business needs to inspect, detect, and help correct issues. And the sweetest part is, everyone gets a product that's as safe to eat as it is delicious. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.